My name is Benjamin Pace, and you're listening to the No Content Podcast. And if you happen to be a duck listening to this, you're in a safe space. Hey there, welcome to the No Content Podcast. My name is Benjamin Pace. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. And like I always say, I hope that listening to this podcast makes your day just a little bit better. And I believe it will. I'd be bold enough to say I believe it will, because if nothing else, we're going to read the Word. And the Word has the power to build you up, to edify you, to strengthen you, to refresh you, to feed you. And so my heart in this is that you would be built up, edified, fed, strengthened, and refreshed by this podcast. And, you know, I'm going to talk about today what it means to lay yourself down. And now you're like, well, Ben, I thought you said this is going to refresh me, you know. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about, you know, something more suitable. But I believe that this is going to minister to you. I believe it's going to minister to me. And there are some good things in this podcast. You know, a lot of times the biggest problems that people have come through selfishness. A lot of times some of the biggest issues that we deal with or that we struggle with, even in our own minds and emotions. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to replace any kind of medical knowledge when it comes to mental conditions, but I will add to it by saying a lot of times just too much self-focus, it's unhealthy and it leads to issues. It leads to problems. And a lot of times if you could get your eyes off yourself and your mind off yourself for a little bit, it would do you some good. I'll go as far as to say that. But I want to talk about what it means to lay yourself down for other people. And this is something that love does. A manifestation of love is laying yourself down. You know, I'll say this. Love is the atmosphere of heaven. And the more you show the divine love of God in any environment, in any situation, you are bringing heaven into that environment. You are bringing God into that environment because God is love. And the very air you breathe in heaven, I've been talking about heaven a lot, the very air you breathe in heaven is love. Oh, come on. There's a lot of things that you could try to define heaven as, you know, the peace. Thank God for peace. The joy. Yes, we love that. That's a fruit of the Spirit. But more than anything, you know, the Bible says God is love. He has joy. He has peace. But he is love. And the very atmosphere of heaven will be like breathing in love. Come on. Oh, I've never said that before, but I like it. I mean, imagine if we, instead of oxygen, breathed in love. Imagine if we just had love tanks instead of oxygen tanks. You know, we're just constantly breathing in love, and it was affecting us. I like that a lot. Well, we can have that. It's all a matter of whether or not we're abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. And that's a perfect segue into the beginning scripture of this podcast. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, particularly in the Gospels, is John 15, where he talks about abiding in the vine of Christ. And I won't read all of it, but he talks about how I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. He talks about how you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you, and he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He talks about if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. I want to point this out real quick. What kind of fruit is he talking about here? What kind of fruit is he bearing? He said, you are my disciples. What do disciples do? They learn to be like the master. That's the whole point. A disciple's job is to become more like his master and to look more like his master. And a disciple bearing fruit, what that looks like is you looking more like the one you're being discipled by. I mean, I just started a new job not that long ago, at least at the time of this recording, and I've been learning new things that I didn't know before that have seemed very hard, but the way I've been learning is simply by watching and listening to the person who's good at what they're doing, the person who's been training me, the person who's been doing it for 10 years. I'm watching them, I'm learning from them, I'm a disciple of them. And the way they can tell that I'm a worthwhile investment is after a certain period of time, I'm going to begin to look like the person I'm being discipled by. That would be the measurement. Now, if just year after year after year passes and I haven't learned anything or gotten any better at my job, you know, that I probably wouldn't keep that job. That's usually how most jobs are. But being a disciple means you look more like the master. You look more like the one you're being discipled by. And this fruit that he's talking about, bearing, it's us looking more like Jesus. And that's the goal. That's the goal, is to look more like Jesus every day. And none of us have attained to that. Paul said, I haven't attained to that, but I press on for this. So looking like Jesus should be our highest aim, our highest goal. And we'll read on a little bit here. But it says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. That's what it means to abide in his love. We talked about breathing in his love. That's like wearing that love oxygen tank, is breathing it in. I'm always hooked up to love. That's abiding in his love. It means I'm always breathing it in. And he said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he told you one way to do it. In other words, he said, if you keep my commandments, you're keeping your love tank on. But if you disobey me, it's like taking it off. He's like, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now watch this. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He said, this is the greatest kind of love, is to lay down your life for your friends. Now, Jesus did this. Talking about being, you know, like Jesus, following the example of Jesus. Jesus did this. He laid down his life for his friends. You look in just a couple of chapters before this, he literally put on a towel like a servant and washed his disciples' feet. And he led by example. And he told us to imitate, to do what he does, to follow his example, to be more like him, laying himself down. He laid down his life. He laid down his comfort. He laid down everything for us. And he said, follow that example. Now we have to differentiate. You may have heard this before, but it's worth saying again, between what Jesus did as our substitute and what he did as our example. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not my job to save anybody. It's not my job to heal anybody. It's not my job to make sure anybody goes to heaven. Uh-oh. That's not my job. I lost some of you right there. No, I'm not the healer, and I'm not the savior. My job is to preach the gospel to all nations. Whether or not they receive it is between them and God. My job is to preach the gospel, but I can't make somebody be saved. And if somebody doesn't get saved, it's not necessarily my fault. Now, I'm responsible to preach the gospel. And if I don't preach the gospel when he tells me to, I'll be held accountable for that, yes. But I'm not the savior. And I'm told to do what he tells me to do. I'm told to obey his commandments. And, you know, it's important to know your assignment. I'm not sure where I'm going with that. But anyway, abiding in him, obeying his commandments, following after him, following his example. There are some things he's done. That's where I was going with it. I'm sorry, I lost it for a second there. There's some things he's done as our substitute and some things he's done as our example. Now, he died on the cross to heal people. Now, it's not my job to heal people. it's my job to pray for the sick and they'll be healed. I'm not the healer, and the pressure is not on me to make healing happen. I'm supposed to be obedient and believe that God is going to heal them when I pray for them. Now, there's a whole lot more we could talk about with that, but the point is the pressure is not on me. I'm abiding in the vine and I'll bear fruit. The fruit is what is an evidence of the vine. Let me say it like this. The vine is what produces the fruit. I'm just the branch that it comes through. You hear what I'm saying there? But there are some things that Jesus has done as our example, though. And he said this is one of them. He said, I've done this, so you go and do likewise. I've washed their feet, you wash feet. I've served, you serve. I've laid my life down, now you lay your life down. Not to save them, but as an example for us to follow after him. We are to lay our lives down to look more like him, to be more like him. This is what it means to be a disciple. You understand what I'm saying? We're called to lay ourselves down. Now, you know, when it says lay your life down, that doesn't necessarily always mean die physically. I mean, if that was the case, you know, I've heard another minister say it this way, that most of us would be dead. But you know, there are other ways that we can lay our life down for each other. There are other ways that we can lay our fleshly desires down for other people, our natural will, our things of that nature, that our attitudes, our preferences. There's a lot of ways that you can lay your life down, but the point of this is that the greatest manifestation of love is when you lay yourself down for somebody else. You hear what I'm saying there? This is the greatest manifestation of love. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5 and get into this just a little bit more. He says in verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. If you read on here, you'll see that he's talking about circumcision. He's talking about people trying to make salvation about circumcision and natural things, and trying to say, hey, you've got to do this to be saved, or you've got to do that to be saved. And he said, do not be entangled with that. And we've taken this verse and used it for a lot of things and saying, well, don't be entangled with this or don't be entangled with that. But what he's saying is don't get re-entangled with religion. Don't get re-entangled by saying, I've got to do this to be made right, or I've got to do this, I've got to observe this thing. He says, don't get entangled with that again. Why? Because that's a fair show in the flesh, as he said in another place. It's just the flesh, and it profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. He said, don't waste time with that. Don't get entangled with that. He said, you've been called to liberty. So that's the good news right there. We have been called to liberty. Praise God. We are called to be free people. But he doesn't stop there. And this is what I want to touch on for a few minutes. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as what? An opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. And he talks about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And he talks about how the works of the flesh are evident and they produce all these awful things. And then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the point that's made is that we are called to liberty. We're called to freedom. He said, but there's going to be a temptation for you to use that liberty for yourself. Uh-oh. He said, you're going to be tempted. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, you're going to be tempted to use that liberty for your own sake, for yourself. And he said, don't do that. He said, your liberty is for you to serve other people. Can I explain to you why? Because in John 13, it talks about how when Jesus perceived that all authority had been given to him, what's the first thing he did? He put on a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. He served them. Why? What was Jesus doing? He was not using his liberty as an occasion for the flesh. He wasn't using his authority for an occasion for the flesh. He used it to serve. And see, this is something that's a big part of following Jesus' example, is whenever you're given some freedom, whenever you're given some responsibility, whenever you're given some authority, how do you use it? Now, here's one, and this might, you know, not necessarily tickle your ivories, if you were a piano. What do you do when you're given some financial freedom? What's the first thing you do? I'm not saying it's wrong to spend money on yourself. I'm not saying it's wrong to go out and buy that thing that you like. God's a good God. He's not against you doing that. And if he blessed you with it, sure, you can do that. But what's the first thing you do? And I'm not just talking about tithing. That's super important, and we could do a whole podcast just on that. But what are you, what's your main focus when you get some financial liberty, financial freedom? Is your number one thing go out and do something for yourself? Or is it, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I serve somebody else with this? Now, I understand you've got natural needs and things of that nature, but I'm talking about beyond that. Are you just wanting some financial freedom so you can serve yourself? Or are you wanting to serve other people with it? See, this is a big part of godly prosperity that sometimes people can miss. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with you having things or enjoying things, but are you using your liberty as an occasion for the flesh or to, through love, serve somebody else? What are you doing first? What's first thing on your mind is what I'm asking you. And this is true of anything. If you get some authority, whether it's at your job or in your church, you're given some liberty to do some things, to make some decisions, some responsibility. How do you use that? Do you use it to get other people to serve you? Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having people serving in your church and things of that nature. That's not serving you. That's serving the Lord. Okay, come on. I'm going to say that again. Having people serve in church, making service available to people in your church, it's not about them serving you. That's about you serving the Lord. And, you know, there are pastors, I'm sure, with wrong motives and things of that nature, but people who are right and are godly, they give you opportunities to serve in the church so that you can serve the Lord. And that's between you and him. I'm not speaking against that at all. I believe very strongly in that. My point is about you. And let me go ahead and say this. Everything I'm going to say in this podcast, it's for you. And it's for me. What I mean by that is, don't listen to this and start thinking of other people. I want you to listen to this, and we'll see this in just a minute, with self-examination. The Bible says if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. 2 Timothy talks about if you purge yourself from these things, you'll be a vessel of honor. Didn't say you wouldn't purge other people. So let's just disclaimer that real quick. Consider yourself in this. But are you looking for other people to serve you and always do something for you? Or are you looking for opportunities to be a servant? Do you know what the word minister means? If you feel called to ministry, if you feel called to, whether it's fivefold ministry or something of that nature, a minister is a servant. And we're called to follow Jesus' example and to serve other people with our liberty, with our freedom, with our authority. We're called to serve. And this is following Jesus' example. But there are a lot of people who would use their liberty as an occasion for their own flesh. Again, let me emphasize, don't start thinking about other people right now. You're going to be tempted to. Self-examination. That's what I'm doing. I'm thinking about Ben Pace right now. You think about whatever your name is. That's where we're going with this. How am I using my liberty? And then there's a lot of talk about, well, I just want to be free to be me. Uh-oh. Okay, well, we're going to get into something right here. I've heard this. I've thought this. I've been through this. I just want to be free to be myself. Well, let me ask you a couple questions about that. When you say, I want to be free to be myself, what are you talking about? Come on, humor me for a second. What is it you're referring to? Are you talking about being more like Christ? Because remember what we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, our goal is to be more like Him, is to be more like the Master. So if you being yourself is less like Him, some of this is coming right out of my spirit. I haven't said it before. What is that? Is that you using liberty as an occasion for the flesh? See, people say, well, I just want to be free to be myself. I just love, you know, I heard one person say, you know, a comedian told a joke about people describing different churches, and they were describing one church, and, you know, he said, if this happened and this happened, that means you're in a Baptist church. And if this happens there and this that happens there, and you're in a Catholic church. And then he talked about one person who says, well, you know, I just love it there. Nobody judges me and I can just be who I want to be. He said, you're not in a church, you're in a bar. You know, we got to be careful about this, oh, I just want to be free to be me mindset. What are you talking about? Now, if you're talking about, I want to be free to be who I am in Christ, then that's right. If you say, oh, I'm not going to compromise who I am in Christ, who I've been called to be in Him, if it's a part of your relationship with God, if it's a part of who you are in Him, that's right. You don't compromise that. You don't change that. If it's who you are in Him, if it's what you're called and anointed to do. Why? Because that's being more like Him. That's something that's in Christ. Let me just help you here. If it's in Christ, it's like Christ. Come on, I've never said that before. That's coming right out of my heart. If it's in Christ, it's like Christ. But when you say, I just want to be free to be myself, what are you talking about? If what you're referring to is you being carnal and immature, you being fleshy, you being more like the world, baby, you don't need to be free to just be yourself. That's using your liberty as an occasion for the flesh, instead of through love serving one another. Now, I know this is probably not rubbing everybody real nice, but I believe I'm preaching the word here, and I believe I'm doing it in a right spirit, like I said. This is coming from a place of, I'm looking at myself in this. I'm not doing this accusing other people or thinking about other people. And I would encourage you as the listener, do the same thing. Don't start thinking about other people. Examine yourself in these things. That's the point of this. But if I say, well, I just want to be free to be me. Well, there may be some things about who you are and your personality that are just flesh and it's carnal. And it's not like Christ. So let me ask you this. If it's not like Christ, should it stay? Oh, man. Well, I don't want to sound harsh today. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm endeavoring to do this with a spirit of love and grace. But let me just say this. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm just being real. I'm just being real. I just want to be real. Yeah, you're being real selfish. Come on. A lot of times what people mean by that is just being carnal and selfish. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's good to be honest about the truth of who you are and what you're dealing with and things of that nature. Honesty is a beautiful thing. Humility is a beautiful thing. But you got to be careful when you start getting defensive about the flesh. Again, I'm saying things right out of my heart I've never said. You got to be careful about getting defensive of the flesh. Because when you start getting defensive, what are you defending? Are you defending Christ-like character? Are you defending who you are in Christ? Or are you defending you using your liberty as an occasion for the flesh? Now, we need to be free. We need to be honest and open and transparent and not be bound by religion and rigid, you know, tradition and things like that and being fake. That's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, like Jesus said, if you abide in him, you'll bear fruit. But a lot of times, the fruit that people are bearing is a result of them abiding in something else. Come on, I'm saying some of this right out of my heart. It's the result of them abiding in another vine. And what a lot of people would call just being me, just being free to be me, that is you bearing fruit in the flesh from you abiding in the things of the flesh. Oh, come on. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not trying to make you mad today. Please have mercy with me if this is rubbing you the wrong way. I would encourage you to soften your heart and just have ears to hear what I'm saying today. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you want to be more like the Master? Do you want to be a disciple of the Master? Then you've got to be willing to lay some things down for the sake not only of Jesus, but other people. That's what we're talking about, laying yourself aside. Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, he has to what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, there is freedom in denying yourself. Denying yourself is not a bad thing. It can be a painful process, but once you do it, there's freedom in it. There's joy in it. There's peace in it. I like that song that says, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. But there is freedom in life that comes from you laying yourself down and being willing to do that. There are some things that you can't enjoy the way you're supposed to. See, this is true. I've never been married, and I'm not trying to talk about things I don't understand. But I know people who have been married for a long time, and they've said these things to me. So I'm sharing this from people who have been married. So receive this from those people. There's a reason why it's called a marriage altar, because there are some things that you're supposed to lay down on that altar. But a lot of people get married and they still want to act like they're single. They still talk like they're single. They still want to do the things they did when they were single. But listen, there are some things that you've got to lay on that altar and lay it down and be willing to lay it down so that, you know, another thing can live and be born and be come to life. And if people aren't willing to do that, they're not ready for that. And it's important to understand that you've got to lay yourself down for other people, because that's what Jesus did. Now, with that in mind, I'm not going to take up a lot more time, but I'm going to go over to Romans 14, and we're going to get into something for just a few minutes. And then we'll be done. Romans 14. It's talking about eating and drinking things, and that are, you know, sacrificed to idols and things of that nature. But more than anything, it's talking about conscience, and it's talking about people who have a conscience that's easily bothered by certain things. And he's contrasting two kinds of people. One person is somebody who can eat and drink and do certain things and it doesn't bother their conscience. And somebody else who it does. It does bother their conscience. And it causes them to stumble, as it puts it. Without me saying anything else, let's go ahead and read it, and I'll say more. He said, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. He said, one person esteems one day above another, another esteems another day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe it does so to the Lord. He who eats does so to the Lord. He who does not eat does so to the Lord. For no man lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. He said, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. But watch this. He says, so in verse 12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. It didn't say you'd give an account of somebody else. See, this is coming back to what I said earlier. Consider yourself in this. He said, each man will give an account of himself to God. And he just said a few minutes ago, who are you to judge another man's servant? Now that's a whole nother message about judging other people and judging other brothers and sisters in Christ. But he said, each man will give an account of himself to God. He said, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to, watch this, put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. He said, don't judge other people. He said, but you examine yourself to see if you are putting a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. You know, there are some things that you may be strong enough to be around or to do, and it won't lead to sin. But if somebody else is younger and impressionable and they're not at the same place you are and they see you doing that thing, and so they think, well, they're doing it and they're spiritual, so it must be okay. And then they start doing it, but they don't have the character or the spiritual maturity to know when to cut it off or to stop. That can end up leading them into sin. Let me explain to you what I mean. For instance, if I think, well, I can watch this certain kind of movie and it's not going to bother me. Well, a lot of times that's not true. But let's just say for the sake of this conversation that it is true. And I think, well, I can watch this certain kind of movie and it's not going to bother me. But somebody else, say I have a little brother. I have two little brothers. Let's say my little brother sees me watching that movie and there's something in that movie that triggers him in a certain way that it doesn't trigger me. And it ends up leading him into sin. Now, this is hypothetical. Who's responsible for that? Uh-oh. That me using my liberty as an occasion for the flesh? Is it causing somebody else to stumble? This is what I want to mention for just a few minutes here. Is what you're doing causing other people to stumble, even if you think you can justify it, if you think that your conscience is okay with it? This is a part of laying yourself down and serving other people, is how does what you're doing affect other people? You might say, oh, I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this. This doesn't bother my conscience at all. Okay, but what about the people around you? Is it going to cause them to stumble? Is it going to lead them into sin? This is one of the reasons. Listen, I know what some of you guys are thinking. Well, I can't just stop doing everything and do every this just to please other people. I am who I am, and I'm not going to just go around trying to please everybody. Well, you're not supposed to be a people pleaser in the regard of always caring what people think. But at the same time, there's a reason why he said this is the greatest kind of love, because it's laying yourself down for the sake of somebody else. I'm going to keep reading here. He said, I know and am convinced, in verse 14, by the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, he's talking about food. He's not talking about unclean spirits. We know from other things that Paul said, there's what fellowship does clean have with unclean, or light with darkness. He's not talking about unclean spirits. He's talking about food in this context. And in that regard, he's saying nothing is in itself unclean unless somebody regards it as unclean. He says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, watch this, you are no longer walking in love. Uh-oh. I didn't write that. He said, if what you're doing is bothering somebody else's conscience, your brother's conscience, and it's causing them to stumble, but you're justifying it, and you're saying, oh, no, I'm free. They just need to get free. They just need to enlarge the borders of their tents. They just need to be more loose and free. That's not what it said. It didn't say that you need to get them to be more loose with you. It said you need to lay yourself down in whatever you're doing in the flesh for the sake of their conscience. Oh, gosh. I didn't write this. See, a lot of people would think, oh, you know, we just need to get them to loosen up. They're just too rigid. They're too this, they're too that. Well, if they're following after religious tradition and they're in the bondage of tradition, that's one thing. We started out Galatians 1 saying, don't be entangled with that yoke of bondage, but that's not what he's referring to. He's talking about their conscience. Because listen, if you're trying to loosen people up to be more quote unquote free like you, are they really getting more free, or are you leading them into searing their conscience just because their conscience is more sensitive than yours? Oh, I know I'm getting into it. Like I said, we're judging ourselves. We're not looking at other people. We're not thinking about other people. We're looking inwardly. I'm looking inwardly. I'm thinking about Ben Pace right now. Am I trying to justify what I like to do in the flesh and say, well, they just need to get more free. They need to be more loose. The Bible didn't tell you to be more loose. It actually told you to gird up the loins of your mind and to be sober, to be vigilant. Now, we're not supposed to be paranoid. We're not supposed to be, you know, living in fear of sin and the devil, but we're supposed to be alert. And we're not supposed to just be loosey-goosey about everything. And we're certainly not supposed to lead other people into that. If somebody else has a bothered conscience because of what we're doing, what does love do? Does love make them feel stupid or feel bad? No, that's not what love does. Love will lay itself down. It will lay yourself down for the sake of their conscience. I'm going to read it again. He said, if your brother is grieved because of your food, and you can insert whatever you want there, your favorite TV show, your music, your this or that, whatever it is. He said, you're no longer walking in love if you are relentlessly going to keep doing this thing, especially in front of that person and making a big deal about it and announcing it and acting like everything's okay, and yet it's bothering their conscience. He said, you're not walking in love if you're doing that. If you're asking somebody else to override their conscience for the sake of your flesh, that's not love. And he said, watch this. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. He said, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify another by. You see, the goal is to build up and edify somebody else. And watch this in verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. In other words, don't mess up what God's doing in somebody's life. Don't interfere with the things of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is not about what you like to do in the flesh. That's not what it is. That's what he's saying there. He said, don't mess up, don't interfere with the kingdom for the sake of justifying your food or your drink. And if it's causing somebody else to stumble, what would love do? Oh, man. He said, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now, there's a lot of people who would spend a lot of time justifying a lot of different things, including drinking wine or drinking alcohol or whatever the case is. And I'm not one of those people who thinks it's evil to drink alcohol. The Bible says don't be drunk with wine. But that's not all it said about wine. We just read, he said, if you're drinking wine or you're drinking alcohol is causing somebody else to stumble. What did he just say? Now, you can pretend like that's not in the Bible if you want to, but it doesn't change it. It's still there. And God's still going to hold you accountable to it, especially if you're listening to this podcast. Now, I'm not telling you that you're evil or wrong if you drink alcohol, but let me ask you a question. How's it affecting the people around you? If you would want to justify that. How's it affecting their conscience? Let me ask you another question. Would you be willing to lay it down for the sake of walking in love? Well, read Romans 14 very carefully and tell me that that opportunity may not ever arise. I'm not saying it will necessarily. I'm not saying you have to quit drinking. I'm not saying you can't drink beer, and I'm not going to judge you if I see you drinking beer or wine. That's none of my business. That's between you and God. The whole point of this is if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Consider yourself. Again, I'm thinking about Ben Pace. I'm thinking about Ben Pace. But I want to be an example of the faith. I want to be an example of love. And I want to live by a higher standard. Because my goal is not to be more of myself. My goal is to be more like Jesus. People don't need more Ben Pace. They need more of Christ in Ben Pace. And they need more of Ben Pace in Christ. And I want to be more like him. This is a big part of laying yourself down for your friends. You know, if I think it's okay to do this or to talk like this or to say this or be a part of this, but it's somebody close to me is bothered by it and it's causing them to stumble and it's leading them into temptation or leading them into this thing, listen, what would love do? What would love do? That's a question you have to ask yourself. What would love do? What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Love lays itself down for the sake of somebody else. You know, one time I was just, it was right before I quit smoking. And I smoked for about 5 years. I didn't smoke that long compared to a lot of people. But, you know, I was on a trip to Israel and I was about 19 years old. And there were these young kids, about 8 or 9 years old, that really looked up to me. And in fact, we had had a little Bible study together. And I had, you know, these two young guys, and I'd been talking to them about the Lord, and they had a lot of questions. And the Lord really opened a door for me to disciple them. But I still liked my cigarettes. Now, listen, I'm sure I could find a way to justify smoking biblically if I wanted to. I could say, well, you know, it's no different than drinking coffee, and it's no different than, you know, doing this or doing that. But it's not just about that. And I don't judge people for smoking. If you smoke, I don't think you're less spiritual than me if you smoke. I don't think you're living in sin if you smoke, necessarily. But I will say this. I was in a store in that hotel buying a pack of cigarettes. And one of those 8-year-old kids walked in. And he saw me. And my reflex was to hide them. But he had already seen it. And I tell you what, he had a real confused look on his face. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, well, that's just the fault of all these religious people who have taught their kids that, you know, smoking is any worse than anything else and blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, but again, Romans 14, that's not the point. Whether or not you think that, you know, the church should have emphasized this more or emphasized that less, that's really beside the point. That's your opinion. That's all fine and well, but I'm reading scripture. So we'll set your opinion to the side for now. I could tell it confused him. I could tell it bothered him. And man, my heart smote me. And it hurt my heart. And I knew he was confused. Why is this guy who I'm looking up to is talking to me about God buying cigarettes? Now, maybe it's not a big deal to smoke a cigarette. Maybe it's not a big deal to have a beer. Maybe it's not a big deal to do this or do that, but how's it affecting those around you? Is it causing them to stumble? What did Romans 14 just say? Love does. Lays itself down for the sake of your brother, for the sake of your sister. This is a huge part of what it means to lay yourself down. This is some of the greatest love, the greatest love, Jesus said, is laying yourself down. Are you willing to lay some things down to represent Christ well, to represent the kingdom well, or are you going to destroy the work of God for the sake of your food? I'm quoting Bible. I didn't make that up. I didn't coin that. I'm not trying to get on you today. I'm not trying to make you feel beaten up or beaten over the head. Listen, again, I'm thinking about Ben Pace. This doesn't feel any better for my flesh than it does for yours. But my heart and my desire is to be more like him. And I would hope that that was your desire as well. So all I would say to you is open your heart to this. I'm not trying to ruin your day. I want to make your day better. But this is the word, and there's some freedom in this, and there's some victory in this. And it's shutting the door to the devil in some things. There's a reason why God gave us these verses. And I would just ask you to open your heart and say, Lord, show me anything that you want to show me about this. If there is something, just be willing, just be open and say, hey, Lord, I'm open to you. If there is something that you want to put your finger on, if there's something that I need to change, I'm willing because I want to be more like Jesus. That's the thing. That's all I'm saying. And I never have to know about it. It has nothing to do with me. Keep it between you and God. But the point is, are you willing to lay yourself down for your friends? Are you willing to be more like Jesus in that regard? I'll read this last verse and then I'll be done. Ephesians 5 verse 1, I quoted it earlier. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and what? Given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. How would you imitate God as a dear children? As a dear child, excuse me. You would do what he did, and you would give yourself and lay yourself down for the sake of your brothers and sisters. This has been the No Content Podcast. My name is Benjamin Pace. I'm hoping and praying that you got something out of this today. I'll talk to you the next time you click play. Thanks again for listening to the No Content Podcast. Remember that Jesus loves you, he loves everyone else, and please don't forget to feed the ducks.